bit this evening, and we're going to continue our study on the Christian Walk series. I've enjoyed this. I really have enjoyed it. It's been a blessing to me. Remember, Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 deals with the wealth of the Christian. It was very doctrinal. But then chapter 4 through 6 deals with the walk of the Christian. Certainly we need to emphasize both in our preaching. You emphasize the doctrine, the great salvation doctrines of the doctrines of grace and the doctrines of the Holy Spirit and the doctrines of the church. But you also got to tell people how to live. You got to instruct them how to live out of the scriptures, how to live as a Christian. So that's what this book does. And nearly every one of Paul's epistles does that. It presents the doctrine, the deep. Of course, all doctrine is Bible teaching, but I'm talking salvation doctrines, and then it'll deal with the practical aspect of it, too. We've looked at three walks. In chapter 4, verse 1, we're to have a worthy walk. Chapter 4, verse 17, we're not to walk as other Gentiles. And then number 3, we are to walk in love, chapter 5 and the verse 2. So that's what we've already looked at. We already have sermons on those. And tonight, our message is going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to look over in the verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as a child of light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this privilege and honor that we have, Father, to meet. Thankful for this church that you've kept and we're still here, and we're thankful. Thankful for the privilege of teaching your word. And Lord, as we teach tonight, we pray that the Holy Spirit would have free course, that I'd be able to preach in such a fashion that's understandable to the people. We pray that your spirit would bless what's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this breaks down real good when you look at the text. You look at verse 8, it says, ye were. He describes what they were. Then look down in the same verse, it says, but now, ye were. And then it says, but now. See, that's the second. That'll be the second point we look at. And then the third one, but now, we move on to the third point, which is walk as. See where it says walk as? So that's going to be our outline. I'll just use those two words, each one. Let me get to you again. Ye were. But now, walk as. That's our three points in this particular verse of Scripture, okay? Now, it says ye were sometimes darkness. Now, he describes what their condition was before they were saved. He says you were darkness. That was their condition. And I'm going to be honest with you, I can say the same thing to you tonight and to myself. Before we were born again, we were darkness. That's a horrible position to be in. Now, the Bible uses different illustrations to show you that darkness. And one of the illustrations it uses is that when you was unsaved and you were in darkness, that's what it means to be unsaved, is to be in darkness. It also refers to you as being in blindness. Of course, when you think of blindness, what is that? That's darkness. So let's look at a couple of those in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 will be our first one we look at. We were blind. We were in darkness, which means we were blinded. Of course, the song Amazing Grace, John Newton said, recognized this truth when he said that we were blind, but now we see. And we realize that only the Holy Spirit can open blinded eyes. He's the only one that can do it. I can preach the message which the Lord has called me to preach, but only the Lord can open a blinded mind. Only He can do that, or a blinded heart. Blinded mind, blinded hearts is basically the same thing. Now notice what it says in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Those that are lost are in what again? They're in blindness. They stand in need of being given light. That's what they stand in need of. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So it says that those that believe not have what kind of mind? It's a blinded mind. That's why they don't see. Sometimes they'll say, well, I can't believe they can't see that. Well, I can tell you why. Can you tell me why they can't see it? They're blinded. They have to be made able to see. And that work is done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives a person light. That's what he does when he brings about your new birth, is he gives you light. So the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So we were blinded. Let's go back. Can you keep your place here in 2 Corinthians? We'll probably come back there here in just a little bit. Okay, let's go back to our text in Ephesians. So ye were in darkness. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Ye were in darkness. That was your condition. That was your spiritual condition. Blindness, that's why it uses blindness as an illustration. You were blinded. You had a blinded man. That's how you was before you're saved. So you stand in need. People stand in need of having that light turned on, and only the Lord can do that. Back to Ephesians now. You're back in 5, but if you look over Ephesians chapter 2, it goes on to tell you a little something else. Not only were you blind, but it also says in Ephesians 2:1 that you were dead. Blind and dead is a horrible state to be in, when you have to agree with me. Now, this is speaking spiritually. It's not speaking physically. When he said in chapter 2, verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Ye were dead. There's that same terminology we have in Ephesians 5. See, ye were in darkness. Then in Ephesians 2, you were dead. You who were dead. Same thing. Now, when you think of deadness, again, what do you think of? That's darkness, isn't it? When you think of being dead, there's no light there. A person that's dead can't see. They're in darkness as far as they have no life. No life in the body, anyhow. So, to be blinded and to be dead is what it means to be in darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So, we stand in need of being alive. Back to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. So that was our condition. Now, a person that dies in darkness will be casted into darkness. And that's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody, is for them to be casted into darkness. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, it talks about being casted into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a reference, of course, to hell. You think of hell, it's also a place of darkness. It's fire, but it's still yet a dark, dark place. And it says will be those that are die in darkness without seeing the light, without being made alive. Then when they die at the end of their day, then they will be in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That bothers me, does it you? I hate the thought of someone dying without Christ. I hate the thought of that. That tears me up. When I hear of someone that's passed, and as far as you know, that they never made a profession of faith in Jesus, it just, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. I hear about different ones that die, even some of these celebrities. I was listening to a young man that just died, and I thought, oh, mercy. Mercy, mercy. Just the next conscious thought. Just think of where a person's at when they die in darkness, having no hope. Having no hope. My, how we need to spread the gospel. We need to get a good glimpse of hell so that we'd be more apt to spread the gospel to people. We got the cure for their condition, and it's the gospel. So that's the condition we were in. Oh, I'm constantly aware of the pit that the Lord drug me from, aren't you? This was our condition. When it says ye were sometimes darkness, that was the condition of the members of the church of Ephesus. That's how their life was before. And our life was in the same way. We were all the same way. Before the Lord brought us to a saving knowledge of Him, we were darkness. We were in that condition. We were in that kind of shape. But aren't you glad it's not true no more? Aren't you glad it's not true? You should thank God for that, literally. Every day of your life, you should mention it to Him. Every day of your life, mention it to Him. Mention how, Lord, thank You. Thank You for saving. Thank You for saving my soul. Forgive me those great salvation benefits which goes with being saved. And forgive me the promises that goes with being a saint. Isn't that a thing to thank God for every day? So everybody see what you were? Now back to Ephesians 5 verse 8. You were darkness. It's what you used to be. If you're saved. Now, if you're here tonight not saved, that's your state. And what I'm trying to tell you is you don't want to die there. And you need to trust Jesus and you need to do it tonight. As a matter of fact, you need to do it now. You don't need to wait to the end of the service. You need to, in your mind, ask, Lord, save me. And trust that He died on Calvary for you. And you'll go from darkness to what? To light, see. So, that's what you need to do. Don't need to wait, because you're not guaranteed the next breath that you have. Now, let's look at the next part of the outline. But now, ye were darkness, but now you're what? Now you're light in the Lord. Now you're light in the Lord. So what's happened, if we have went from darkness to light. Does everybody see the transition? That's what happens when the Lord saves you, is you go from being in the darkness to being in the light. Now, I want to give the Lord some all the praise for that, don't you? And let me show you what the Scripture says about us going from darkness to light. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's what the Lord did. It says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2 that, but ye are a chosen generation. Boy, this is a good text to preach from. Breaks down real good. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Means you're a king and a priest. That's what it means in the Lord. A holy nation. What is that holy nation? Is Israel of God. Okay. See how good, that'd be a good message. You want me to preach from that tonight? I'll do that after I finish this one. It's a great text. Now, notice what it says, that you should show forth His praises of Him. Now, listen to what it says. He's called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the reason why you're no longer in darkness is He called you out of it. If He hadn't called you out of it, you would still be in it. That's what made the difference. God's what made the difference. This calling out of darkness is an inward calling. Now, I just now, a little while ago, gave you an outward call. I called upon you to believe in the Lord. I called upon you to trust Jesus. That's an outward call. Everybody, that's something that a preacher does, or something that somebody tells you about Jesus. They call upon you to believe. That's an outward call. But this calling out of darkness is an inward call. And that call is issued forth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit turns on the light inside, so to speak. He gives you light and He gives you understanding. He does that. So the reason why you're no longer in darkness and now you're in the light is because He called you out of darkness. He called you out of it into His light. Turn back to, I told you to save your place in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4. I love this text too. It's a good text to preach from. Notice what it says in verse 3 again of 2 Corinthians 4. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Why is it hid to them? Because they're blinded and because they're dead. God has to open the eyes, open the heart, and make them alive. Or they'll just stay in their condition willingly. Okay? The reason why we're not there is God's called us out of it. Now, notice what happened. I want you to watch when we get down in the text where God commanded the light to shine out in the darkness. I want you to watch for that. Now, we read verse 4. Let's read it again. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now here's our verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Are you thankful for that? He shined in your heart. He did it. Now, God, in the beginning, when He created the world, He said, let there be what? Let there be light. And there was light. But He also did that the day He saved you. He shined in your heart. And He gives you light. God gave you light. And now you see. The reason why you see is He gave you light. Are you thankful for that light tonight? Are you thankful for the light that the Lord gave you? If He hadn't commanded the light to shine out of darkness and to shine in your heart, you would still yet be in your sin. You would still yet be blinded. You would still yet be dead. But He opened your eyes. He opened your heart. And He gave you that understanding to know Him that is true. I see, I understand, don't you? Understand who He was, why He died, why He came. Understand about His grace, His righteousness. All that came from Him. He gives you that light. Thank Him for it. He shined in your hearts. Let me give you another verse about turning on the lights. Hebrews chapter 10. I give these to you all the time. I need to lay. This is the foundations for the doctrines of grace, don't you think? These are foundation doctrines for understanding the doctrines of grace. What does it mean to be illuminated? Well, if you turn off all these lights and then it'll get dark in here. If you go back there and flip on that switch, you know what you did to this room? You illuminated it. What that means? You give it light. You turned on the lights. See? The Lord turned on the light one day in your heart. The Lord turned on the light one day in your mind. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. See, ye were illuminated. What does that mean? He gave you light. He gave you light. And when He done that, you saw. Why do you see? He gave you light. Well, if He didn't give you light, you'd still be in your sin. You wouldn't see. You wouldn't understand. So you see who gets the glory for you seeing, you understanding, you receiving Christ. Who gets the glory for all that? The one that gives you the light. That's why we teach the doctrine, to give the glory to the proper place. So, ye were darkness. Let's go back to our text. Ye were darkness. But now what are you? Now you're light. You're light in the Lord. See? Now that we are light in the Lord, look back at verse 8, ye were sometimes darkness. That was your life before you were saved. You were darkness. Now you're what? You're light in the Lord. If you're in the Lord, then you're in the light. See how it goes together? If you're in the Lord, then you're in the light. If you're not in the Lord, then you're in darkness. In the Lord, you're in the light. If you're not in the Lord, then you're in darkness. To be saved is to be in the Lord. How you get in the Lord? Access is by faith. Romans 5:2. Access into Him is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him, then you're in Christ and you're in the light. Now what do? Now let's move on to our third point. Now that we are in the light, what's it tell us to do? And this is our series, the Christian Walk series. It says we are to walk as a child of light. Now, to walk as a child of light, your walk is how you live. Since you're a child of light, you're to live like it. You're to conduct yourself like it. To walk like it means to live like it. So if you're in the light, then your life should make that manifest by the way you act. You're not going to be perfect if you're saved. But if you're a child of light, there's going to be evidence in your life that you are a child of light. And He tells us it's important here that we walk as children of light. Now, what He does, I think, down, I didn't read the other verses, but I'm getting ready to. He's going to describe what the walk in the light looks like. He's going to describe in the following verses what the walk in the light looks like. What it means, He explains what it is to walk in the light. Are you ready? The first one's seen in verse 9. If you're walking in the light, then you will have these three fruits of the Spirit that are listed in verse 9. Let's look at those. Here's what it means to walk in the light. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. When someone's a child of light and are walking in the light, what does it mean they should display in their life? They should display these fruits of the Spirit. The reason why they're called fruits of the Spirit is they come as a result of the Spirit's work in us. What are the three? First one is goodness. Goodness is moral excellence. Moral excellence. When someone's walking in the light, they seek to be a very morally upright person. That's the idea of it. There's a lot of people that claim to be saved, but they don't have moral excellence about them. They seemingly have no morals whatsoever. But the idea of goodness, and what happens is the day that you were brought into the light, the Holy Spirit took possession of your body. And He begins to work in you. He works in you fruit. And one of those fruits is goodness, moral excellence. What's the next one? Righteousness. Righteousness. It means you live righteous. And you seek to do acts of righteousness. Righteous acts, righteous deeds. 1 John chapter 3, let me give you something to go with that. 1 John chapter 3. This is what this says. If you're in the light, are you to live righteous? Let me ask you, if you're in the light, are you to live righteous? Absolutely. Are you to seek to have moral excellence? Absolutely. Why? Because you're a child of the light. You represent the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will work these things in you. 1 John chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness. The idea of doeth is practices. He that practices righteousness, he is righteous. He that practices or doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sins of the devil, the idea of commit again is the same idea of practices. He that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we practice righteousness. We seek to do righteousness. Goodness, righteousness. Now let's go back to our text in Ephesians 5. Here's the third fruit that someone that is a child of light, when you're walking as a child of light, these are the fruits that needs to be displayed. And will be displayed. The Holy Spirit works these things in those that are children of light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. The idea of the word truth is sincerity. Realness. You hear me say a lot of times from the pulpit, I want to be real, don't you? I don't want to be a fake. Or I don't want to be a put on. And I don't want to be something that is different in secret than I am in public. I want to be real. And that's the idea of sincerity. It's realness. See what I mean? So these are fruits that the Lord works in you. That the Holy Spirit works in you. If you're a child of light, see, He's explaining what the walking in the light looks like. This is what it looks like. These fruits, you'll see that in the lives of people. You'll see the goodness. You'll see the righteousness. You'll see the truth. Now let's notice verse 10. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's notice another quality of those that are children of light. When you're talking about walking in the light, this is what this means. You display those three fruits of the Spirit. But also, verse 10, you seek to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. You seek to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Which simply means what is acceptable is you seek to do that which is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's the idea of it. You seek to do. Now, to prove means to test it. Sometimes before you do something, you ask yourself questions. What does the Lord think about this? Before I do this thing, or before I take this thing into my house, what does the Lord think about this? You see, you're proving, like this text says, you're proving what's acceptable in the Lord, what's acceptable in Him. Is this what I'm about to do? Is this well-pleasing to my Father? And if you look at it, you're testing it. That's the idea. If you're testing something and it's not pleasing to the Father, then someone that's walking in the light, you won't do it. This wouldn't, I'm not going to do this because this won't please my Father. See? So you ask yourself these types of questions before you do something. What would the Lord do? Remember them little bracelets? What would Jesus do? That's the kind of the idea of this. You question yourself. Would Jesus do this? Would the Lord be pleased if I do this? See? So you test that. That means to prove that. People that are walking in the light wants to do that which pleases the Lord. So when something comes along their way, they'll say, now, can I do this thing? Is this something the Lord would want me to do? Would the Lord be pleased with me doing this? So you question it, because if you're walking in the light, you have a desire to please the Lord. That's the idea of proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You got to know that there's sometimes there's people that don't care if the Lord likes it or not. They could care less. That shows a bad sign, doesn't it? When you care what the Lord thinks, and you care whether it displeases the Lord, and you care about doing that which pleases the Lord, that's a sign you're in the light. When someone don't care about pleasing the Lord, that's just a bad sign. That's just a bad sign. You don't know the heart. And I'm not saying that somebody can't drift, because you can read in the Bible where there's men, David drifted and people drift. But there are some folks that makes professions of faith, and they live their whole days and they have no desire to please the Lord. They don't care what is pleasing to Him. They don't care to live in the light. They don't care to serve the Lord. And that always has bothered me, hasn't you? It's bothered me all the way down to the day. So you need to be the type of person, if you're walking in the light, you want to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, let's go back to our text. So he's defining what it means to walk in the light. You display these fruits, and you seek to do that which is pleasing the Lord, which calls you to ask the question, would God want me to do this? Would God want me to say this? It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble if you'll ask before you do it. Number 3, verse 11, have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with it. That implies separation. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful. Now see, this is where I think the emergent church movement is missing it. Here's where I think they are missing it. They seek to become like the world to win the world. There has to be a separation between the children of light and the children of darkness with regard to how you live. If you put yourself in certain situations over a period of time, and they're bad situations, you're going to fall into sin over time. You got to keep yourself out of bad situations. Do you not agree? So he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, what kind of works is he talking about? Well, look back up at the beginning part of Ephesians 5. It describes some of them. It says, verse 3, fornication. Fornication is a broad term, and it's where we get the word pornia from. It's just immorality. It covers the whole spectrum of immorality. Of course, we have a big problem with that in America. And we also have a big problem of it in churches. It's everywhere now. It's just, I don't even want to get off on the subject. But it's fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness. Just the idea of covetousness is a desire for more. These are unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 4, neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, Folks, sin ain't funny. I don't think sin's funny. They get on all these shows and they have all these, and they make fun of sin and they laugh at it and it takes the awfulness of it off. One of the ways homosexuality got accepted is they started putting just a little bit of it on television, on shows, and they made funny jokes and you laughed at it, and they never stopped to tell you that this is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. So as people watched it, it became more and more acceptable, more and more acceptable. Now today, the people that are odd is the people that say it's a sin and not a race. That's the people that are way out there. You can have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and walk in the light. Can't do it. So there are some decisions that folks have to make. We have to be separate in our conduct. Now, this doesn't mean that we become not like the Amish. Doesn't mean that. We have to interact with lost people if we're going to witness to them. But it doesn't mean that you have to go to the places where the sin is being committed at and the lawlessness is being done. I don't go into a bar because I wouldn't want our young people to see me going into one. I don't go into a bar and say, I'm just going in there to try to win people. The Emergent Church does that too. I was told that just the other day from someone that that's what they do. I think you need to keep God's people outside the bars. I think you need to keep them outside, especially if you used to drink. I think you got to think about being separate. But you can be separate at the same time and seek to win souls. You don't have to go in the bar to win the people in the bar. You don't have to do that. You have to become like the world to win the world. So, I think you got to be careful about doing some of the things that these folks are doing today. There has to be a separation. There's children of light and children of darkness, and there has to be a separation there. It says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But that's not enough. What else does it say to do in that verse? It just didn't stop at not being having no fellowship. It says something else. What else does it say? Did you notice it? I haven't heard anything yet. Reprove them. I mean, sometimes you got to say, hey, this is wrong. This is sin. Sometimes you got to say, I'm not doing that because I feel that that's a sin. So not only do you live separate, but you also you also at times got to say something about it. Now you got to use wisdom in how you have done that and how you reprove. But I mean, they'll say, Jeff, why don't you do this with it? I say, I can't. I love the Lord and I don't do that. And you do it in a good way. That's a sin. You got to call sin, sin. Did John the Baptist? Well, he stood behind Herod. He looked at Herod and said, it's not right that you've stolen your brother's wife. Offended her and eventually lost his head over it. But there's a time for reproof. What the devil has done in America is he silenced the churches, so-called. If you preach against sin, they act like you're a nut. And I'm telling you, you have to preach against sin. And they act like when you preach against sin, you're saying how much better than you. No, you're not. You're just trying to expose that that's a lifestyle that's destructive. And that they need a Savior. And it's a sin the way that you're doing. And you need to have victory over it through Jesus. So we're talking about walking as a child of light. So walking as a child of light, you display the fruits in verse 9. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 10, you seek to do what is acceptable to the Lord. You ask questions. If Jesus was sitting on the couch beside of me right now, would I watch this? If Jesus was sitting beside me on the couch, would I watch this show? See what I'm saying? Would this be pleasing to the Lord? And you know what? He is sitting right there on the couch right beside you. So you seek to do what is pleasing in His sight. You're aware that He's always watching. What else do you do in this walking as a child of light? Well, you have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You just said, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't live that way no more. See? No fellowship. No fellowship. You associate with sinners on your job and things, and you're going to be around them. But you don't do the same things they do. That's my point. You don't do the same things they do. Well, you'll get in trouble. You won't be a witness. You get pulled into sin. Lot went in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he didn't have no influence, did he? The sins of Sodom completely had a tremendous influence over him. He never made a stand at all until it was entirely too late to make a stand. And when he did say something to his sons-in-law about their sin, you remember what the Bible said? He seemed as one that mocked. He had no influence. He was around it too much. He never said anything about it. He never made a stand before. And then when it come time for the fire to drop from heaven, and he began to issue a warning, his word didn't mean nothing at all. Why was that? Well, because he blended in too much. He never made a stand for anything. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship is what it says. If you do, pull you into sin. Instead, what do you do? You reprove them. Now look at verse 12. For it is a shame. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Remember, the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So he said, it's even a shame to speak of them. So you have no fellowship. You have no fellowship. And along with that, you give a reproof. You say, this is sin. This is why we don't do this. This is sin. This is why I won't go there, because of what's done there, see. You may obtain separation, but at the same time, you have to explain why. You have to explain why. It's not enough just to be separate. You have to explain why you are in a good way. Okay? Now, he gives an example of reproof, and I think that's what verse 14 is for. And he quotes Isaiah 60, and it's Isaiah 60, verse 1. He explains, here's an example of giving a reproof. He says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Of course, those that are in a lost condition are in a slumber, aren't they? They need to be what? Awoke. Sometimes we'll even say that to people. We'll talk about people living in sin. We say, boy, they need to wake up. They need to wake up before it's internally too late. We'll say that. So, here's an example of giving a reproof. Awake, thou that sleepest. He says, arise from the dead. Of course, we talked about those in a lost condition. They are dead, aren't they? And they need to arise from the dead. They need to awake up. And what else does it say? Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. So not only do you give a reproof, you call upon them to arise and see the light. Don't we encourage people to see the light? Trust the gospel. That's what's done in the text. That's what he shows you in the text. Sometimes God's people need to be told to wake up. Yeah, that same warning sometimes needs to be given to God's people, because sometimes they drift like into a sleep. Into a slumber. And they stand in need of being, you need to wake up a little bit. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. Well, folks, that's the message for this evening. That's the walking in the light. And we showed you the characteristics. We showed you what you were. We showed you what you are now in Christ. We're in the light. And we showed you how to walk as a child of light. And we give you the fruits of it: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Seeking to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, giving a reproof and reasons for why you stand against him. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you.